Cara, Vashat is the sound or the word which at the end of a verse in a yajna is spoken by the hutri, one of the priests. And then hearing that, the advharyu priest, he pours the oblation into the fire. So it's like a prompt. The sound vashat is a prompt for the oblation to be offered into the fire. So vashatkara means he in respect of whom the sound vashat is made. Now this may all seem very technical. Well, yajnas are technical. And Vedic life is inseparable from yajna. Vishnu is worshipped by yajna. That is being established here. One of the names of Vishnu is, there are so many names of Vishnu in connection with yajna. Yajna vai Vishnu hu. One of the names of Vishnu is yajna. And then there's yajna krit, yajna pati, yajna bhuk, yajna purush, and so many names like this. So even the yajna itself can be called vashatkar. Yajna vai Vishnu. This is from Taittiriya Sanghita, a well-known quote. Now, this is the commentary that Shankara gives. And Baladev Vidyabhushan follows that. In another commentary I have of... It means he who is worshipped in yajna. You can put it simply like that. Parashara Bhatta, a Sri Vaishnav commentary, has made this specific point of commenting in a different way to every way that Shankara comments. And Vasha, you know this word, Vashibhut, means under the control of, someone who is under the control, maybe not in Tamil. No. But Vash means control. So here the name is given by Parashara as meaning one who controls and directs, not only pervades. You see, the first two names, Vishva and Vishnu, they indicate that the Supreme Lord is the universe. He pervades the universe, but this third name means that he is not simply pervading in an impersonal, amorphous manner, but he also controls the universe. He makes all act according to his will. That is the meaning of the name Vashatkara. From the then Upanishadic quotations are given, which I can hardly read in this darkness. Saravasya Vashi Saravasya Ishanaha. That's an Upanishadic quote, which means the word Vashi is there. He is the controller of all and the ruler of all. And I can't see. Jagad Vashe Vartate Dam Iti. This universe is under his control. It's quite a spectacular torch. You know? Another thing which you need a PhD to know how to use it. Okay, name number four. Bhu. Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhuhu. This covers the three phases of time, past, present, and future. He is the Prabhu, or the controller, the Lord, the Master, in all phases of time. So, this is significant that Ishvara Paramakrishna Satyad Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is described as the supreme controller. Now, that means he is Tamishvaranam Paramam Maheshvaram. He is the controller of all controllers. That there are many sub-controllers, but the supreme controller is Krishna. Just like we see in the Indian administration, in the administration of this country, there are leaders at very various levels. At the panchayat level, there's the sarpanch. It's probably called something different. It's called the same thing in Tamil Nadu, different name. The sarpanch, and I don't know exactly how it all works, but there's the mayor of towns, and then there'll be the MPs, MLAs, and chief minister of a state, then prime minister of the country, and on top of all is the president. Theoretically, the president's on top of all. The president can't be a woman, although it is at the present, because the president is translated as Rashtrapati. And Rashtrapatni, Pati means the master, and the female form is Patni, but Patni doesn't mean master. It means the wife of the master. So, if you translate, what do they call in Hindi? What do they call her? The Rashtra what? Rashtrapati. It's a position, I see. And men and women are all the same. So, this is impersonalism. Men and women are all the same. Even in the language, they're not the same. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with Vishnu Sahasranam. But the point is that Krishna is the controller of everything. Vashatkara. The explanations given by Parashara, they follow systematically. Although you might think that the Vashatkara is the... Of course, there may be many meanings of every name. There are many meanings of every name. So Vashatkara, the straightforward meaning, you might think, is, or the mukhya artha, is the plain abhidhavriti, the dictionary meaning, the straightforward meaning, is he who is indicated by the sound vashat in sacrifice. But this sequence that Parashara gives, that Vishva the universe, Vishnu who pervades the universe, Vashatkara who not only pervades but controls the universe, and then, Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhuhu, he who is the Lord, the Master, in all phases of time. So it's sequential, makes a logical sequence. That Krishna is the supreme controller, and Satchidananda Vigraha, his transcendental form, is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. So that he's eternal means that he's eternally the supreme Lord. It's not a rotating position like that of the Rashtrapati of a state. Or even if in traditional societies, there's a king who's a king as long as he's alive, He's the king. So it's not a post that's subject to votes or... it's not temporary. Of course, he may be overthrown. But according to Dharma, only a king can overcome another king. It's not that someone else can... just anyone can come and kill the king and make himself the king. But only persons who are kings and trained as such can overcome one king. And that's considered acceptable within Dharma. If one king attacks another and takes over his status, if he's more powerful, then he's in a better position to rule the citizens anyway. That's the idea. Although one who is more powerful, he may bring the other king under his rule, so there can be kings and sub-kings. But even the greatest kings, they all pass away. In the Bhumi Gita of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, there is a long list of kings who are mentioned by Bhumi as being great rulers who considered themselves the rulers of the earth, but they all passed away. But the eternal Bhumipati, Lord of the earth, is Krishna and the Lord of everything. He is the Lord of everything and he is the Lord of everything eternally. There is no competitor. There is no possibility of any competitor. One of the many grave errors in Christian theology is the idea that God has a competitor. There is Satan, who God is always grappling with, and God just seems to have... It's theorized that God has the upper hand, although if you look at the world, it would seem that Satan has the upper hand, actually, in the modern age. So this is actually not... It's verging on atheism to propose that there is a competitor to God. He is, in all respects, superior to all others. There's no question of any competitor of him. There's only one way to come to an equal level with him, or to become greater than him, and that's a great secret, because is to forget that he's great out of love. And he is, although he is Vashatka, he brings everything under his control, but he is controlled by love. That is the point that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings especially emphasize. All other Vaishnava sampradayas, they emphasize very much the majesty of the Supreme Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes that, takes theism to its fullest extent of that of pure love of Krishna, which even in neglect of in neglect of his majesty, or unawareness of it due to intense love. So Krishna is the supreme controller in all phases of time. We can put this proposition to people who claim them the person they have decided to follow, who claim that that person is Bhagavan. There are many such people. Tamil Nadu has become a hub for new avatars. It used to be Bengal, but seems like Tamil Nadu is the... In the 21st century, the avatars are coming out of Tamil Nadu, at least at the beginning. Of course, you had in Andhra Pradesh also. Andhra Pradesh also has its claim to glory. with the recently expired Bhagavan. So we can put it to them that 5,000 years ago, Krishna was accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one had ever heard of. Okay, we can do. Here, we can give a list here of all so-called avatars. Sai Baba, number one. Sai Baba, number two. We're just waiting for number three. The next rascal in the parampara. Then we have in Bengal so many. Many of the Bengali avatars, probably most of you have never heard of, because there are only a few people in Bengal have heard of them. The so-called Paramahamsa Ramakrishna is very famous, and among foolish people, especially. Then there are others like Anukul Chandra. How many of you have heard of Anukul Chandra? Never heard of him. Well, he's an avatar, by the way. Who is there? That Jagat Bandhu Maha Udharan. You never heard of him, for sure. And there are a few here and there. I think some of you may have heard once. In Bangladesh, there was one. When we were there was one youngish man, Vivekananda by name, who was a Hindu preacher. And at some point, his followers said to him, "Look, you've been a Mahatma long enough, it's time you became an avatar." So, this foolishness is going on. Anyway, there are so many. Down here, we have the up-and-coming Jaggi Vasudev, and the Paramahamsa Nityananda, and Kalki Avatar, and over in Vellore, there's some guy with a golden temple, but somehow, despite his display of opulence, he hasn't become popular. Then we have the Shakti guy, Om Shakti, who claims himself to be Durga. That's a really strange one. Amma. Yeah. So, Tamil Nadu is the hot place these days for bogus avatars. The funny thing is that none of them, no one ever heard of them 5,000 years ago, or even 500 years ago, and most of the names I mentioned, not even 15 years ago. Some of the local Tamil Nadu, it's the new avatar factory, so they're all fresh, like fresh stool. They're attractive to pigs. So hot off the production line. Why bother with an old avatar when you have new ones, you see? There are others also. Better we don't contaminate this place with thoughts of them. But just to bring into perspective that no one knew of them even a short time ago, and probably many of them, even in 15 years, will be pretty much forgotten. Just like Kalki Avatar, it's just like got eclipsed or something by the up-and-coming ones. It's just, what to mention, this Sri Sri. I saw this Francois Gautier or something. He's a French man who lives in India. Oh, and then we have the Aurobindo over in Pondi. So he lives over there in Pondi. And he writes, he's a pro-Hindu, he writes in English, and he wrote a whole article once about how Sri Sri is the modern avatar. But he's also going down now, because, how long, there's nothing really there of any interest. So anyway, 15 years, 50 years, 5,000 years, there's no question, even of the immensely popular Sai Baba being known in 5,000 years' time. It just won't happen. I mean, even the most very powerful people of the past, like the Genghis Khan, his name is still known. How long ago was he? Maybe, I don't know, 2,000 years ago or something. I'm not sure. No, a little less than that. So, but in Kali Yuga, everything changes very quickly, and the change is almost always a deterioration. So people don't remember things very long, and it's just like film stars or music stars or cricket stars. One comes, another goes, one comes, and they don't last very long. And all kinds of different philosophies, so-called philosophies, come and go. Even, you see, the Roman Empire, it lasted, 400 years. And the British Empire lasted 150 years. And the American Empire, it's like, 60 years and it's all over. Maximum 60 years of the America being so powerful. The Russian domination over a large area of the world, that lasted about 70 years, approximately. Now, they can't even control their own border. They can't control it. There's so much insurgency within the borders of Russia itself. So even the empires, they don't last. Everything is very brief. China is now coming up, but they also have the same seeds of destruction that America has. And the artificially inflated economy. So everything's on a very flimsy platform. People have very poor memories. They're extremely whimsical. And so the avatars, so-called avatars, I mean, the very fact that there are so-called avatars is another symptom of Kali Yuga. So that these people, they are not actually Prabhu at any point in time, but they're just claiming to be. And a few people on this little planet believe them to be, and they achieve a little prominence, but they're not actually the master of anything. And within a few years, they'll be forgotten, not by Yamaraj. He will look after them very nicely. He'll give them all they deserve for their brashness. You don't know what brashness means. It means foolish boldness in declaring themselves to be God. And Krishna will continue to be the ruler of everything, from outside and inside, the complete master of everything. Young Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maratastun Vanti Divyaistavaya, he is praised by all the great demigods. This, of course, this name will come up also, Amara Prabhu. I won't get into that just now. Amara, one of the names in Vishnu Sahasrara is Amara Prabhu, the Lord of the all the demigods. So, of course, many of these names, the meanings, they overlap. So, Krishna is the master of everything, past, present, and future. He will be in future also. Don't worry that, am I a member of some fly-by-night cult? You might be, in the Western countries especially, people might think, and the propaganda is there, that Krishna consciousness is just some kind of sect that someone dreamed up to cheat others. But Krishna consciousness has been extended in human society, at least in the land which is presently known as India, since time immemorial, and will continue to be, because Krishna is supreme in all phases of time. It's not that Krishna was a prominent person some time ago who was raised to the status of an avatar, and somehow or other it's lingered on. No, it's not. People may theorize like that, and devotees might be doubtful. They might become doubtful when they think, there have been so many religious cults throughout world in history. Well, just look at Bhagavad Gita. And you will see that the knowledge there and the philosophical depth, this is not the product of some tribal god. It's not the product of some imaginative speculated. So from in various ways we can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vishnu Sahasranam, by going through Vishnu Sahasranam, we'll understand different aspects of Krishna and Krishna's supremacy in all aspects, from any perspective that we examine. Krishna must be accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for every statement of fact, there is a correlative, reversed or negative statement. Just like Smaratavya Satatam Vishnu, the rule that one should always remember Krishna, can be stated in another way, Vismaratavya Najatu Chit, never forget Krishna. So that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all phases of time means that no one else is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the logical correlative. So, coming back to my theological contribution, which I came up with the other day, if you see anyone, of course I was saying about Mayavadis in general, but we can specifically apply it today to persons who claim themselves to be the Supreme Lord. If it's Krishna, bow down. If it's anyone else, kick them in their face with a boot, with a spiked boot. Now you all have to get spiked boots. This is my theological contribution. Hare Krishna. That's all for today. Short and sweet. Maybe it wasn't sweet at the end, but actually it's very sweet and pleasing that the blood of the demons will run all over their face. It's very pleasing to the devotees. That's described of Krishna's club. Komodaki, I believe it's described in the Bhagavatam, that it's decorated with the blood of the demons. Looks very nice. So there you go. Hare Krishna. Any questions about this? It's supposed to be Madhurena Samapiyat. Everything should finish sweetly. So we finish with some sweet, fresh blood. Yes. Yes, please ask.
Prabhu, you told Krishna is a master, Prabhu.
Yeah.
We are here now.
Why he's the master? Why is he not taking us? Because he gives us a little free will. Just like you have children, I presume. Is it? You have children? No, you don't have children. Well, some of the women there have children. So the children, they're in the room, you're in the room, you're overseeing them, you're controlling them, but you let them wander around a little bit. You don't tell them every little action. You allow them to wander a little bit. If they start to do something which is harmful to themselves, as children often do, then you restrain them, but you don't control their every little motion. When they get older, the children, they are allowed some measure of independence. They're supposed to be still under the general control of their parents. But they're allowed some measure of independence. That doesn't mean they're not... See, the controller doesn't mean that we are robots and he programs us. I just saw on Dandavat some completely opposite under thing that the question of free will and destiny, that the only choice we have is to surrender to Krishna or not. And there's no other, that's the only thing. And everything else is completely controlled. Totally bogus. Anyway, I saw it yesterday on Dandavat. So then what's the meaning of all the Shastra telling you should do this, you shouldn't do this, and there are different stories giving what's the result of bad activities, what are the results of good activities. And, oh, Hare Krishna. So we are allowed limited independence. If we use it properly, then we become qualified to go to Krishna. If we don't, then we have to stay here. That's all. You go to Krishna, you say you go to Krishna, but if we want to enjoy separately from Krishna, then if we still have desires to enjoy separately from Krishna, then we will create a disturbance in Vaikuntha, and we also won't be happy there. So we have to be qualified to go there, which means free of any other desire than that to serve Krishna. All right? Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. In Sanskrit, just came out this year, I think, by this, what's his name? Bananji Govindacharya from Udupi. So he's got more and more stuff. They may go on expanding unlimitedly the different meanings. So tell us what you can remember. Vashatkara. Vashatkara, this name.
Shat means the six kind of changes.
All right, okay, very good. Shat, if you bring in shat, then it can mean so many things. If you say six. So six kind of changes. Then Vashatkara means he who oversees them, or what?
One who has six,
and then there'll be so many sixes. There are the six whips also that's mentioned, six tribulations, kshut, trit, and pipasa, I can't remember, bhayam, these are mentioned, the six tribulations of material existence, hunger, thirst, fear, I can't remember, dvesham is like that.
Lamentation,
shoka. Very good. So, yeah, so there's another meaning. One who is, kara means one who effects. So, indirectly, not directly. Krishna doesn't directly affect the unfortunate effects of this material world, but indirectly, everything's under his control. And then one who has the six main opulences. I don't know how that would come. Exactly. Shannang bhaga itingana. So like that. Hare Krishna.